Get in a place of expectation, because expectation all through the Bible, you should know it by now, brings a manifestation. And God is continually manifesting Himself to His people. I'm not necessarily talking about natural stuff, just like her talking to the Lord and the Lord speaking a word to her. He manifests Himself. And when He did that, as you heard, freedom came. Freedom came because where the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. Freedom. Hallelujah. And I run across some guys today, and one of them was talking about, well, I just don't desire, he's a Christian, well, I just don't desire natural things at all. And I said, well, you know, I said, kind of like the Lord told me one time, He said, natural things just don't really mean nothing to me. And I said, well, I said, you know, I said, it's kind of like the Lord told me one time, I was just believing God just to meet my needs. Just, Lord, well, I don't have to worry about my bill, all that stuff, you know. And I said, and the Lord told me that was selfish. I didn't really know what the Lord was saying then. I said, but I didn't know that I had thousands of lives that I could change with a $100 bill. I didn't know that I could change. I didn't know that I could take a washer and dryer and people would give their heart to Jesus. You know, I said, we're like a hose pipe. I said, a hose pipe is no good until you hook it up and run water through it. I said, but once you run water through that hose pipe, I said, the hose pipe gets blessed with water. I said, so we're conduits for the Lord, hallelujah. Well, how many knows, as I pondered on that today, you know, with that little conversation, wasn't no friction or anything, you know, but I was pondering on it, you know, and I thought, you know, the devil lies to God's people continually about prosperity. Prospering with your son. I'm not just talking about money, you know, because, you know, money really is on the bottom of the list. If we prosper inwardly, we'll prosper outwardly. I mean, if we prosper with our confidence in the Lord, like Sandy was talking about, you know, and so I went on, I was telling that guy, I said, and I'm helping his church where he's going when we minister out here, these things that bring encouragement and enlightenment. But I told him, I said, I told the church, my church, you know, I said, I was talking to them about the building we've been believing God for. I said, we don't borrow money and we don't pay interest. And I said, and so that means, I said, I told them that means that God got to increase you. God's got to bring, if you purpose to be, and this is moving in faith. The title, I guess, is faith, From Faith to Faith. See, I didn't know after I got born again that there was different levels of faith. I didn't know you could go from one level of faith to another level of faith. But I found it in the Scripture, you know, in this, wherein is the righteousness of God revealed, Romans 1:17, I believe it is, 16 or 17, from faith to faith, from one level of faith to another level of faith. Well, you can see it in just like Mac, you know. He did some endurance. I mean, people used to get on his nerves. He'd invite them to church, and then he'd spend weeks in turmoil when they didn't show up and all that stuff, you know. And now he's like, I've learned somebody. Well, faith and patience works together. Faith and patience works together because now he will patiently wait. His faith is he wants them born again, wants them in under the Word, in church. That shows you somebody's faith. And I was telling that guy, I said, listen, I said, I saw my son's faith really for the first time in his life when he built that shop. I could see it. He went out there with a backhoe with no money. He believed that God was going to do it. And his faith got him on the backhoe with no money, right? That's faith. You know, like Kenneth Hagin, he was on his deathbed at 16 years old. They didn't have no kind of technology. They said he would never leave. Told he was bedridden, couldn't walk, couldn't get out of bed or anything. Started reading the Bible. And he read the Bible. when he got to Mark 11 over there, 22, it said, have the faith of God. or have faith in God. Then it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive. He was quickened to that. And then he's like, okay, I have my healing. Laying in the bed, have my healing, I have my healing. And two or three days later, and the Lord spoke to him, he said, healed people don't lay in bed. He couldn't move. He couldn't get up. He was like paralyzed. You know, he wasn't paralyzed, but whatever that was killing him, had him immobile. And so he thought, well, I can't get up. So he takes his arms, drags himself to the post of the bed, and falls off in the floor, and he's trying to get up. And as he's trying to get up, strength begins to come in his body. What happened? His faith. You see, he moved out of bed, went past what it looked like. That's what you're doing with Ty. We in agreement with you. I'm in agreement for all your houses being paid off and all of that. And that gets on some people's nerves. We'll go buy you one and make payments of $2,000. And then when you hear it, you can say, "Whoa, yes, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Debt free. Hallelujah. Free from them. Hallelujah." And I used to have people they would get upset when they'd say, you're gonna go long term, and I say, I don't go long term. Now in the natural, I'm thinking I might have to go long term. But in the if we look in the natural, we won't go by the faith that God's put in us. So we walk and live by faith, the Bible says. But God don't want us staying at just one level of faith. He wants us moving from faith to faith. How does faith come? We've been given the measure when we're born again. But faith comes through hearing the Word, through the Word of God. The Word of God contains faith. It's a container. It has faith in it. God's Word has faith in it. And that's why, somebody told that one of those brothers, they told me, I said, well, you know, I don't really, I said, listen. I said, I've got to have confidence in God. I said, because I don't have the means to bail everybody out. I don't have the means. I said, I know a lot of broke folk. I said, I know a lot of them. I said, my compassion is to go help them and all of that. But when I pray, I'm not led. I said, that's the key. I said, but I've got to have confidence. I got to have faith in God. We, the body, has to have faith in God that if we tell somebody that God will do something in their life, if they will turn to Him, then we release the anointing. And so I told that person, I said, if we're not careful, we'll get burnt out with people's needs and carrying, taking them on. I said, but if we have faith in God, I said, then we can tell them if you'll turn to God, God will deliver you. God will restore your family. He'll restore you. If you turn back to God, God will restore and renew your faith. Hallelujah. And so I thought to myself, I thought, you know what? I've walked this thing out for nearly 30 years with the Lord. Now, I've made my share of mistakes. I've got plenty of missed the mark trying to hear from God under my belt too. I got a lot of mistakes and financial things that I got us in because of ignorance, some of it, and then unbelief that I really couldn't seem to get it that He can do it or He'll do it, but I wouldn't quit. I wouldn't quit, and I'd go back to the Word of God. See, when you make quality decisions based on the Word of God, God will have to quicken you to that, what I'm saying. I can't sometimes teach what I know. I just have to spit it out to you and let Him do it. But when we make quality decisions with Ty, with my finance, with this church, with my business, with my marriage, they's quality decision is the decision that me and you make based on the Word of God. A no back down, no come off of it, no lack of confessing it. Faith. Then we enter into faith. That's when you enter in. That's when you enter into the God kind of faith. And then God causes you to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that your boy's going to be reconciled like he has been. We seen with Doris, she'd just come back to the Lord. Maybe, I don't remember, she'd come back to the Lord. Anyhow, she's dealing with some stuff with her grandkids. And she would take a bullet for her grandkids. Loved her grandkids. And the mom was going through some issues and blah, blah, blah. And everything got hard with their other grandkids. Different things. I mean, just tearing her apart. I mean, it was just like the worst thing in the world. And so we kind of was trying to minister to her and everything. And God told Teresa to pray for the mother. Give her a word. Just like He give you a word, everything's going to be okay. He means it. Well, you'll see it. Well, you know what? I mean, she couldn't get the grandkids and different things. And I mean, there was nothing in my power. If I could have did it, I would have fixed the situation. There's nothing I could do but God. How many knows God is able to do abundantly above, greater than you think or ask, but it's going to have to be according to something working in you. Well, it wasn't too long, praise God, she had them more than she wanted them. Right? Is that right, Doris? Had them all these years. She had them more than she's probably thinking, I need to call them up and see if I can send them back home at least for a couple of days. God, I believe, but this is deep. I don't know about all that, but praise God. But we seen God work a miracle. We seen Him work. I mean, it looked impossible on the other end, praise God. But all God needed was somebody to release faith. Somebody to release faith that He could do the impossible. See, faith is looking at your impossible situations and saying all things are possible because I believe. See, time would say, your ministry just getting started. You're already 58. I was 27 when I went to ministry. When I got saved, went pretty much into ministry at 27. And then I'll say, nope, devil, you know what, pray God, Caleb and them was 80. And I'm promised 120, so I'm not even halfway there yet, devil. What am I doing? I'm looking at the odds that are against me in the natural and bringing in, I'm making a quality decision based on what God did for these men in the Bible, and He is no respecter of persons if He can keep and sustain and empower and put them in the promises at an unrealistic age. Guess what? He can do it for me and you because of our faith in Him. It is simply our confident trust in Him. I am confident that people, a lot of God's people, don't see God move because they won't get in this word right here and get what He said in their thinking and in their heart, to where it is written in the tablets of their heart by the Holy Spirit, praise God, and then faith is generated, then they are water walkers. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced that I own tractors because I believe my daddy wanted some and he was a poor man that didn't know God. And I got a hold of God, got born again. God did. He wasn't lost. Some people says that they found God. They didn't find God. God wasn't lost. But I know what they mean. They just finally encountered Him. They just finally turned to Him. He wasn't lost. Well, I told the Lord one time, I was reading into Isaiah, the Bible, reading in the Bible. And he says, they went to the enemy's camp and they took back what he had stole from them. And when I read that, I thought, my God, I wonder if my daddy got robbed by the devil. I wonder if he did, man. He said he blessed me and my family and increased us more and more, my children and all. I've watched my son increase. I've watched him increase from the time he was like Aiden. That boy never lacked nothing. There was times that I couldn't afford to buy him a four-wheeler. Little tore up piece of junk down there. I couldn't, you know, and me and him whittling, and he crying. Oh, Daddy, I want it. I said, nah, yeah. Man. I had to go off with a broken heart as a father, couldn't get it. But you know what? I turned to the Lord. I said, you said, Lord, that you would supply all of my needs according to your... You said that my son, you would increase him more and more. You'd increase me and my children. And you know what? From that point till now, he's never lacked anything. And I didn't spoil him. I made him work and get the gas after I bought this stuff for him. You know, you want to play, you pay. I made him wash cars and vehicles and stuff like that, teaching him that there ain't nothing free, that God said if you don't work right now, you ain't a man, but you will be a man. And if I don't teach you work ethic right now, this is Jesus, then you won't eat out of the good of the land. And so people say, well, nah, you spoiled him. And I said, nah, I taught him how to believe God. I taught him that God is a good God, that God would give you the desires of your heart. And I simply refused. You know, being good to your kids and all of that, I'm not talking about rewarding them when they're lazy. I'm not talking about rewarding them when they're rebellious, when they want to yield. Y'all don't have to be rebellious. You choose to rebel. We don't have to be rebellious to our Father God. If we do, we choose it. We choose to rebel. And if we don't rebel, the Bible says he will not withhold one good thing to those who walk upright, walk in faith, walk in a right spirit. You know, I was thinking about Romans 12 too, where it says, don't be conformed to this world. What does that mean? It means the world's patterns and ways. The way they act, the way they treat their wives, the way they treat their fathers, their parents, their mothers, their siblings. We taught them too. They, you know, siblings kind of argue and all that. And we'll tell them, man, if y'all don't stop, y'all fixing to kiss each other and hug. And they're like, yuck. It stops it. It just stops it. Be sweet. Be sweet to one another. Be sweet. Aiden comes out today and I got back in about 12:30 and he didn't go to school. And Aubrey, she just determined to go to school beyond me. She wants to go to school. She loves it. And so anyway, she goes to school. Aiden comes out there and he's just bored. He's bored. I said, what's wrong? I said, you know, it's boring around here without little sister, ain't it? Big sister, it's boring. He said, yeah, it's boring, Papa. I said, yeah, so you love her. You love little sister. Hallelujah. How many knows they don't have to fight and argue? If we teach them to love one another, right? Well, you know what that is? That's a parent walking in faith. You might not link it to it. But you believe love one another. You believe we should love one another, love the brethren, love one another, prefer one another above ourselves. Well, don't you think they need that too? They need it. That's it. And when we're doing that, when we're displaying that to them, that means we believe God's word. We believe it changes us. We believe it's transformed us. We believe it'll keep us from the enemy. And so, therefore, we believe it'll keep our kids the same way, or our grandkids, or somebody else's kids. Hallelujah. I was thinking about Romans 12 too, where it says, don't be conformed to this world. Back when I started studying that out, I thought, wonder what the Lord means. Well, I studied it out, conformed to the world. That means the way they think. Off to work I go. My old lady, my old man. I mean, these slang words, these slang words that and I thought, man, I can't be conformed to the world if I'm gonna have God's will. It says be transformed, right? The word transformed there is like a metamorphosis. It's like that worm in a cocoon and it comes out into a beautiful butterfly. It has that reference to it when the Word of God transforms us. That's when I started making decisions, you know, I'm never going to be broke again another day in my life. I'm not going to go by my family of 17 and we never had nothing. I got their BB guns from 2 years ago. For Christmas, when they got new ones. I got their shoes that wore out in the mud and all that handed down to me. Because they wasn't no Nike going and getting $60-$80 pair of Nikes at my house. I don't remember it. We got some of those banana blocks once a month. And if I could get to daddy first, I'd grab the bag and I was the littlest in there and I'd crawl clean up under the house where the chickens are. And they couldn't get to me. I'd eat as many of them, you know. Well, that mentality followed me on into marriage and everything else, you know. And then God began to show me through the Word of God, shows the body of Christ, you know. You're not supposed to be broke and weak and sick and oppressed and depressed. Never. You're supposed to believe to more than enough. I had some folk on my mind tonight, and I thought, my God, they show up for church tonight, I'm gonna bust them with a $100 bill. They didn't show up. Ain't my fault, right? You just missed the blessing. Somebody missed a couple of $100 tonight. I left my wallet at home, and I picked the kids up, and I thought, man, I got to go back and get that wallet because the Lord told me. Now they're listening by Facebook. They'll never miss church again. He may not even ever tell me to do it again. Right? Hallelujah. I heard a story one time. This young guy started this man's church, and God spoke to him, and God told the pastor, he said, I want you to buy him a house. He said, but don't do it right now. And so he's waiting. He done found a house. He fixed to pay cash. I'm talking about this man got cash money. He gonna pay cash money. Well, he lets about 2 or 3 weeks go by. The little guy got mad and quit church. And God told him he just quit his house. He said, don't buy it. He said, I was waiting to see if he was willing to make the changes that I wanted. Faithfulness was one of the things. Faithful to go to church. Hallelujah. I got a lot of my blessings through standing on Forsake Not the Assembling. My faith in God in that. And I got all kinds of breakthroughs financially. Things given to me. Impartation, man. I'm talking about training. All kinds of stuff that causes us, like the Apostle Paul said. He said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I acted like one. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish stuff. See, to me it was childish not to stand in faith and believe God for the means to go to church. Hallelujah. And you know what? I believe it's done to a big part of generation of non-believers, seeing believers not really believe God, just lounge and do what they want to. Praise God. I believe it's give them a bad example and they don't want none of the kingdom. But I believe there's a remnant, and we're in here right now, and there's a lot of us, praise God, hallelujah, that is going to get down, get in the Word of God, renew our mind to the Word of God, and then when we get our mind renewed to the Word of God, we're going to utilize that in our life, our whole life. These things that I don't have to renew my mind to, it's in there, it's in my heart, but God, and when something comes up and challenges, I slap it down and say, you ain't coming here, I done kicked you out, and you ain't coming here. You ain't getting me to think nothing. I used to go around and I'd say, "Woo, I'm a good-looking man, you're a lucky woman. I met Jesus, he made me look good." I'd tell Teresa. I'd tell her, I'm the best thing ever happened to you other than Jesus. I told Aubrey the other day, I said, I'm one of the best things ever happened to you, baby, other than Jesus. I told Aubrey that. She's good. She don't like me talking about her. She's a little shy. We'll get it out of her. We'll get it out of her. We'll go have her singing on the stage, playing the keyboard or something. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't believe God ain't called my grandchildren into the kingdom, into ministry. I'm not going to put ministry on them, but God, I believe they're going to be used of the Lord. I believe they're going to take up the baton, and I would advise all of y'all young kids and teenagers, take that baton up. Get on fire for Jesus, you know. I mean, you'll live your whole life without purpose, but God will give you purpose, hallelujah. I watched a whole band of teenagers up there at that revival, and they're staying up at 11 and 12 at night, Aubrey's age and littler, and writing notes and inviting people in their school to church, hallelujah. They on fire, these young kids. They got purpose other than just going to school. They going to school, but they going to invite them to that revival because God's doing something in the young people that'll go after him, praise God, that he can't do in everybody. Hallelujah. And I imagine the parent, one of the parents put on there and said, well, I'm not going to put the fire out. Let them stay up to 11, 12 o'clock. They go into school, they'll get up. Why? But I want to stop God in my kids. They come in, they're all excited about the Lord. Little boy got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, under the power of God and all of that stuff, you know. And I thought, this is where it's at right here. It used to didn't matter to me that I had to get up at 3:30 and 4 in the morning and go drive a truck and tote sheetrock and all of that and work till 5 and 6 o'clock. I had God and I wanted God, so I endured all the hardship to go to to get in the presence of God, which was empowering me out here in this life. Quality decision based on the Word is living in faith. Deciding you're never going to be weak again. The Bible says, let the weak say that I'm strong. Right? Well, then why should we say anything else? If we read it in the Bible, and it says, let the weak say. At that time, Mac, their battles were natural, with natural warfare. Shields and swords and slings, whatever they had. And so he goes to them and he tells them, beat your swords into weapons. Use this stuff and turn it into weapons. He said, and let the weak say that they're strong. Why? They felt like they was weak, I'm sure. Or he wouldn't have said that. Well, back when I read that, the Lord said, I want you to say the same thing. I said, well, that's Old Testament, Lord. He said, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. He said the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. He said, I've not changed. He said, the way you do warfare has changed. He said, when Jesus came and set this new covenant up, he said, now you fight the good fight of faith. He said, now you do warfare in the spirit realm. He said, now you believe and you're in the spirit realm. See, whenever you make a conscious decision, just like Sandy said this, she got it out of Romans 8:28. I know God's going to work this out. I'm not taking on that care. Where'd you get that at? Casting all your cares, the Bible says, 1 Peter 5:7. It says, cast all your care over, roll it off over on the Lord, for He cares for you. Well, that's what she did. That's what I do. That's what you do when you say, God, I'm going to increase from one level of faith to another level of faith. God, I want more. Pour it out. Light a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. That's what you're saying. If you ain't, you're just singing. You might as well go sing Hank Williams Jr. You're going to get some that satisfaction out of it. But when we sang that, you know, just like the song we sang tonight, you've been faithful all my life. He's been faithful to me. I should have died. I should have committed suicide. While I was yet a sinner, He died for me and He loved me, and I didn't know all of that until later on in life, after I got born again. So I can sing that song in full assurance that He had His hand on me even though I was lost. He was doing all He could do to protect me while I was lost. So I can sing that song with confidence. You know, all my life You've been faithful, God. I believe I had grandmothers. I know my daddy's daddy was a Sunday school teacher and a school teacher. So I imagine he prayed for us little heathens. I don't remember him, but my dad's dad, but all of my other older brothers and sisters, they remember him. You know, and he was a school teacher, and so the baton was dropped somewhere in the family. But God made up for it. God, I mean, just about all of my brothers and stuff has preached the gospel. There's just one or two of them that didn't. They preached the gospel. Hallelujah. You know why? Because the call of God is without repentance. And see, God give us the Word here so that we can build our faith and confidence in Him, not only for our just natural life and our home life. And I mean, I believe God for big jobs, less work, and more money. And I'm telling you right now, I've got a job coming up right now, and I don't care to tell it. I'm giving God glory because I'm not that smart. I didn't go to college. I slept through the 7th, kicked out of the 8th, and I had a mustache like Johnny. I was a grown man in the 7th grade. They used to wouldn't pass you, you know, like they do now just to get you out of their hair. You had some real backbone teaching women back then. Their paddles were thick, you know, and I mean, I stayed in the first grade 3 years, I think. Begged mom not to make me go to kindergarten. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to school. You know, and so, but anyhow, when you get a hold of the Lord, I mean, just like this job coming up, before I pay labor, and I'm going to make in 1 week 35, don't you tell me God ain't big. You can't convince me God ain't big. And I'm speaking this to you because faith comes by hearing. But you'll have those, boy, he's bragging. You ain't getting it at all. You won't get the spirit behind what I'm saying. You'll just be keep looking in the carnal. You'll make it on through life when God has so much more. God has hundreds of thousands of dollars that'll lay waiting that people never receive because they won't get in there. They'll say, why do you need that? Well, why did that porno guy need some jets over there? Why's Budweiser? You think Budweiser can rake in trillions of dollars and the body just stay broke and the church broke? No. Hallelujah. I mean, I told some brothers today, I said, look, man, I said, the enemies are supposed to envy us. They're supposed to look at us and say, my God, they serve a real God because they see our faith in God. I've trusted God for 30 years. The IRS just sent me a check today. And I'm like, glory to God, I'm getting money back from the IRS, man. I have to believe God pay in every year. You know, and then the IRS sends me a check. And I'm like, glory to God, it's paying me back. Making them pay me back. Hallelujah, praise God. That don't happen to everybody. Maybe it does y'all, but I'm just getting to this level where I'm getting my money back from the IRS. Why? Because I made a qual. But you know what? I had to walk through, and I had to learn not to fear them. Tax season would get over, and I'd start fearing next year. A whole year, I would go a whole year. Oh man, if I make money, it's going to cost me. Oh, it's going to blah blah. And then I read in the Bible where Jesus paid taxes, and that set me free. I'm like, glory to God. Jesus went and told Peter, go fishing and get that money out of that fish's mouth and pay your taxes and mine. And I thought, glory to God. Jesus is going to pay my taxes. What happened? I got faith from the Word of God. I got confidence in God that even during, that might not mean nothing to a lot of folk, but I was tormented all year. Whether I wanted to grow that business and really make big money or not, that was a torment to me. How many knows there's fear in that? When you know God loves you and you know God's going to prosper you, get in there and find all the prosperity scriptures you can find and just write them down and go over them and over them. And you know what? I believe you'll become like Habakkuk. He told Habakkuk, he said, write the vision. He gave him a vision. He said, write it down. He said that those that read it can run with it. He said, wait on it. He said, though it'll tarry, your shop might not be here right now. But wait on it. It'll come. Reminds me, I went in that revival down there and letting all them preachers and I bet you there wasn't anybody in that church under 80 years old other than a couple of us preachers, man. And I mean, it was just full. I mean, packed house. And the Lord, that preacher, my brother, he said, I'm going to let all of y'all go. He said, and I want you to, I'm going to give you 5 or 7 minutes. He said, if you go over that, you're going to get cut off, you know. And if you got any rebellion in you sitting in a service like that, you'll get up and walk out. I move when the Holy Ghost tells me. I'll be led. No, you got to reverence that service, right? That service belongs to the Lord. Don't belong to us. It didn't belong to us. And so my younger brother, we're sitting beside each other, and he knows how sometimes preachers are. They get started, and they'll just take the service over, you know. And so he punched me, and he said, you can't taint it. I said, the Bible says that my spirit's subject to me in the Bible. Well, I got that out of the Bible, Johnny. I thought, I can do all things through Christ. Yeah, I can shut my mouth up. My heart can be jumping out of my chest, and I don't have to say a thing. You know? And I said, oh, yeah, I said I can do it. And he said, you want to go? I said, I'll go last. And I thought about the scripture where he says he saved the best to last. Jesus, the best wine for last. You know? I got something out of that. It wasn't even about the wine. It was about my life. You know, for me to be quiet. Just you believe me and all of that. Well, when he got to me and he said, you preach. I thought, preach? Never thought about preaching here. But when I got through talking about Caleb and Joshua under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God set that old church on fire. I mean them, they going back out in the streets of Huntington, they going to win people to Jesus in their 80s and 90s. That one woman, she's in her 80s or 90s, she told me, I thought I was washed up till I got in here that preaching here tonight. She said, Sonny boy, I'm going to win them to Jesus like I used to. I said, you go get it, girl. I said, if God be for you, who can be against you? I said, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. See, that's what we, the body, has to have to the body and for those out there that maybe don't know God. Maybe they know of God, you know. And when we tell of these things of the Lord, I thought about King Agrippa. You know, Paul over there, I mean, he's in bad trouble, Johnny. He's not in a good place, you know, right at that moment. But he goes to telling King Agrippa about his conversion. He begins to tell him about Jesus, you know, just like you did today in that terrible place, praying for them and praying for that guy and that driver. Everybody ain't got that. If they do, they don't utilize it. Well, hallelujah. King Agrippa told Paul, Paul wasn't trying to persuade him. Paul was just telling him, you know, and He said, you almost persuaded me to get saved, to become a believer. Why? That was his conviction, his convincing. That was his faith. That was his walk. That was his light. That was his life. Well, my life is to teach God's people how to prosper spiritually, financially. You're not supposed to be sick. You're not supposed to deteriorate. I'm talking about to where you get not able to do nothing at 65. You listen to the world, and they'll pop you full of pills. They'll give you one for the right knee and one for the left knee and one for the right shoulder blade and the left one in the earlobes. I mean, they'll come up with a formula for you to reverse age. I've seen it all. I've thought about taking some of it, man. Man, I wonder if that works. I wonder if that works. You know? But no, the gospel. The Bible says the Word of God is medicine to all of our flesh. When something's attacking me, praise the Lord, I start with the Word of God. I may go to the doctor just like I went today with this mucus. I've been nauseated 24/7. The only time I don't know it is when I'm asleep for 2 years. To the point to where you ask me what I want to eat, I say, I don't know. Teresa, what you want to eat? I don't know. She gets her upset a little sometimes, you know, but I don't have a preference. But you know what? I'm going to the doctor today. This is about the eighth or ninth of these. And I'm going it through there and I said, Father, I said, I'm going to this doctor once again. I said, and I'm depending on you and your anointing, God. I'm standing on your written word that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I said, and I've not changed my mind in 2 years. I said, and I'm not going to change my mind because you are my source. You are my Lord. You are my healer. And this medicine and different things is a natural health ministry that you're okay with. My faith is in that you alone. And I'm depending on your anointing and all of that. So I'll be wearing a pager here for too long. They want to go in there and measure how much mucus or whatever it is that's behind my throat. It's kind of like running something down your nose. It'll make you sick at your stomach, you know. That's the way it is. But you know what? Why am I telling you that? Because I walk by faith and not by sight. And that ain't going to tell me I can't come to church nauseated. That ain't going to tell me that I ain't going to preach on the street nauseated. That ain't going to tell me that I'm not going to witness to people that He is a big, big God healer. He'll heal you. You're already healed. That's not going to change what I believe because I've made quality decisions based on the Word of God. That when it tells me I can't do, I go back to the Word and I say I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Now that is your decision. Decision which puts you in faith, which gives you the zeal, the action, the courage, and the grace of God to walk it out. Aubrey told me something, I don't remember what it was here at church. She said, I can't. I said, that's not a word. Some people think that's funny, but it's not funny to me. I have not been able to find it in here. But I did find all through the Bible, be strong and of good courage. You can do all things through Christ. And if I've used that in my life once, I've used it a trillion times on things, doors, jobs that were impossible, looked like I wasn't going to get impossible. I mean, machines that it looked impossible for a little bitty fella like me to fix, you know. I mean, all kinds of stuff. When I had open heart, so I thought there's none of these things going to change the way that I believe because I'm believing based on the Word of God. And I was telling them brothers today, I said, it's not any words you want that gets results. I said, delighting ourselves in the Lord, trusting in the Lord. I said, in the Lord, quickening the Word as we meditate on it and seek Him and for His divine will and His divine purpose. I said, then the Holy Spirit brings and quickens that Word. I said, then when that Word's quickened, that's when you lay hold of that. You know, Lord told me one time, He said, people don't go to church. He said, you think they just don't want to go to church? He said, it's deeper than that. He said, you're seeing the results of that depth. He said, when you got saved, and as long as you pray and fast and seek me, he said, you've always had a desire, hadn't you? I said, yeah. He said, well, what does that tell you? He said, if you feed on me and my spirit and the things and the anointing, he said, you want to prosper. He said, you want to be healed. He said, you want your marriage fixed. You don't want to bail out on it. You want it fixed. You want my desires, hallelujah. You know what that does? That's put the person in a place of faith. And faith is a good fight. He said, fight the good fight of faith, not a bad fight. Faith is not a bad fight. You win. So I want to encourage you, you know, don't speak, get that. The Bible says, don't let no corrupt communication come out of my mouth. That means if it's corrupt in faith, I don't need to be saying it. Somebody told me today they was talking about people and blah, blah, blah. And I said, I try to mind my own business about people. I said, because if I mind my business about people, I said, I don't have no problem preaching the gospel. I said, because the less I know about people and their problems, the easier it is for me to hear from God. I said, then when I hear from God and they know I don't know, I said, then it's easier for them to receive from God because they know only God knew that. I said, so that can hinder our faith. I said, we can't let anything hinder our faith out here. Just like Johnny, I believe the man's going to come to church here, bless God. I believe he's going to get born again. I don't believe you up there for no reason. You believe God and that was a specialty job. He could be driving below Birmingham hour in 10 minutes. But he got a raise. He got more money to stay right where he was at. Hallelujah. But I believe it's because Johnny and them stood in faith, believing God, lost our jobs, didn't sweat it. I didn't see him sweat it. I seen the boy fast so much one time, I thought he was turning into a white man. I mean, I thought he's going to get a new wardrobe, man. I started asking him one time, hey, man, you need me to bring you a garage door rope, tie them pants up? He was just fasting a lot. He was fasting and seeking the Lord, and I thought, man, that's how you do it right there. When you're fasting, seeking the Lord, you're not giving in to your emotions and feelings and circumstances that are out of your control. You have faith in God, and then before you know it, you see God turning things around. You see God making the crooked places straight. You see God working things out in their lives. He does it for all of us. But if we're giving in and whining and complaining and, you know, carrying on like God ain't real big and God ain't real, and the only reason we would do that is because we're getting depleted on the inside. Stay strong. Stay up. Stay motivated. You got to motivate yourself. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Tell God how big He is all the time. Tell Him how awesome He is. Praise God. I mean, it's helping you. He don't need you to remind Him because He knows He is. Hallelujah. But fight the good fight. Go from faith. Don't stay one level of faith. When I'm not believing God for something, I feel kind of bored. I get in there in my garden, I'll tell God, God, I thank You, Your blessings on my tomato plants. I thank You, Lord, they're on my pepper. I'm talking to my God in the middle of my garden. God, I thank You, Lord, Your blessing is on everything that I set my hands to do turns into a blessing. Hallelujah. Even I self-inflicted sprayed my fruit trees, you remember? I wouldn't even go down there for 3 weeks. I was very discouraged, and that was 14 years that I self-inflicted on myself, you know? And I wouldn't even go down to the garden. Bethlehem thought it strange. He's not going to that garden. He's not going down there. I didn't know. It was discouraging me. So I understand. I mean, I know it's just stupid fruit trees to some folk, but it was my blessing. Hallelujah. You know, but you know what? Praise God. I thought, I will rebuild again. I'll have better fruit. I'll have bigger fruit. Praise God. I did it with my barn. When that barn blowed down and got up there, and I just feel so bad. I said, don't feel bad for me, brother. I said, I've got two choices right now. I said, get discouraged and quit, or at that time it was Build Back Better, Biden. That's the only thing I liked about it. So I thought, well, I'll just use that myself about down here. I said, or build back better. I said, I will build back better. I said, you'll see. I said, God will help me build back better. I built it back better, bigger. A-frame instead of lean-to. I mean, when that came, praise God, I went up there and spoke to it, raked it all out of the way, started believing God. He lined up rafters and all kinds of stuff. He began to line it up, praise God, lined up. He had my brother to buy a sawmill out of China for me. He didn't know he's buying it for me, and he wanted to set it up on my property. He even went and helped me get logs over there because he had all these bright ideas. He's going to build stuff, and he never built nothing that I know of. Man, so I built my whole barn free. I mean, with free logs, all I had to do is take a tractor and all that. See, I believed God. I wasn't going to spend no $70,000, $80,000 to build that barn back, praise God. Hallelujah. And so all it really cost me was a bunch of gas for the sawmill, and I got to run a sawmill. That was awesome. And you know what? That sawmill ain't been run since I got done. That I'm aware of. Now, anybody believe what they want to believe, but I saw faith working. I saw God begin to work that thing, praise the Lord, hallelujah. In the last 10, I paid my brothers on the other one. I paid $1,000, and 4 days later, it was gone. And all the time, Johnny spent a little time up there, didn't you, Johnny? He sure did. He come over there and help, praise God. Hallelujah. Maybe why he's got a bunch of barns filled with plenty. I don't know. The Bible says the generous man will be made fat. Hallelujah. He'll be made fat. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? I got my barn. If you don't believe me, go up there. Go up there and look at it. If I'd have had some blue tin, it would have been red, white, and blue because I mixed the colors. Red on the end, white, and I thought, well, I might put a blue door in there. Red, white, and blue. Praise God. So don't think things are impossible. And I don't listen to a lot of the news right now. Media, man, they ain't got nothing good to say about nothing. Blocking this, blocking that, blocking this, blocking that. I now find out Joe Biden's had cancer all along, and I don't know what all the mess are going on up there. And I just look at God and I say, God, you're the only one that can help this bunch. You're the only one that can move in America. And we, the church, I'm not listening to it. I'm looking unto you, the author and the finisher of my faith. And I can see you already prospering America. I can see you already, if a man don't work, you don't eat up there, and them getting rich off of us and all of that stuff. If a man don't work and partake, you don't eat. I can see you already working the scriptures in the United States of America, and that we are going to prosper, prosper, prosper. Hallelujah. This church right here, you might think it's small. Get used to people. Because they come in a day, you're probably going to be standing room. I mean, when God begins to draw, and I'm not going to let down my faith. I've been here, it started in 2002. And I was thinking, that's 23 years I've been believing that, God. And I thought, God, you put it there, and I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if there's one, and in the next service there's 70, 140, back down to zero. I'm not changing what I believe. I'm going to have it. I've got it wrote down, and I express it here. We're a big church. I've had people say, it's really a little church, Brother Scotty. And I'd say, to you, where is everybody? They're like you. Show up every now and then. I said, if everybody would get here, they would be saying, there's nothing wrong with that church. We're all here. I said, it's all their fault. I said, it's not our fault. We're here. We're faithful. We're singing. We're doing all that. Aubrey, she said, Papa, are we going to have music? She said, Grandma's not going to play the drums. I said, absolutely, we're going to have music. I said, we're just not going to have a drummer. Well, is the drummer going to stop us from worshiping God? No. We're going to worship God, right? Why? Because we have faith that if we in His presence is fullness of joy, hallelujah. So anyways, I want to encourage you, praise God. You know, don't be satisfied where you are in faith. Go on, go. Get your house paid off. Believe for a house. Believe for a car. Believe God wants you to prosper. You know, and don't hope. He said He'd supply all of your needs. Get that scripture. If that's the only one you need. If you need a pontoon, get that one and use it. Pray God, I did it. I needed a pontoon so I could spend time with my family, which is godly. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise You and thank You. Father, and I thank You for everyone here and everyone.